Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had killed the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and even more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." He was afraid. He got up. He fled for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and he sat down under a solitary broom tree. And he asked that he might die. "It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." He lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up, eat." He looked, and there at the head was a cake baked on hot stones, a jar of water. He ate it, he drank, he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up, eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up, he ate, he drank, he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And at that place he came to a cave, and he spent a night there. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I've been so very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, but the Israelites have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord is about to pass by." I'll stop there. May we bless the reading of God's Holy Scripture here this morning. I think I may have mentioned in the past, Cindy and I had a chance to go down to Arizona, hike some of the Grand Canyon. It's pretty exhilarating, grueling, hot, strenuous. And I recall we were on the descent, we were feeling fatigued, and we stopped at a little kind of rock crevice and placed our backpacks down and got out some granola and some water for refreshment. And I remember just kind of standing and looking out over the edge and just taking in kind of the beauty of this spot and turning around. And Cindy's sitting there and she's kind of going like this and looking saddened, guilty, I don't know. And what's wrong? She said, we're out of granola. And I said, how could you have eaten our entire snack that quickly? And then I saw to her left, like two or three squirrels that were gathering for some kind of feast of beloved natural granola on the ground. And I saw before me, oh, my nourishment. We're going to die in the desert. Okay, so maybe I overreacted a little. But this sense of stress on what's going to sustain us. You know, maybe that's a hint of what Elijah was feeling, except he wasn't on a nature hike. He was on a spiritual quest. He was trying to find himself in God again. How about a little background on Elijah's situation? There was a king. There was a man named by the name of Ahab, and he ruled northern Israel after the times of King David and Solomon. And Ahab was known as one of the worst rulers of Israel. He created worship centers in Dan and Bethel to other gods, and he did not worship in Jerusalem. He worshiped the god of Baal, the goddess of Asherah. He married a woman named Jezebel, a pagan worshiper from a Phoenician city-state of Sidon, and together they were like this sinful, evil duel. They killed many of the Lord's prophets and urged other people to worship many different gods. The thorn in their side was Elijah, the prophet, whose name means Yahweh is my God alone. And he continually nagged King Ahab about his poor choices and about the country failing under his leadership because of his lack of true faith. And he set up a contest of sorts between prophets himself of the Lord and prophets of the false gods, Baal and Asherah. And they met on a mountain. In that place, the Lord our God won decisively. And 450 prophets of Jezebel were killed. So she was angry. And she sought revenge on Elijah and on the Lord. And so he ran. He fled south, past northern Israel, past Judah, down to Beersheba, which is the most southernmost point, and then into the wilderness. And that's where we find him today, in the wilderness. You guys remember other wilderness stories? Who else has been in the wilderness? Moses spent some time in the wilderness. Jesus himself in the wilderness. What types of things happen in the wilderness? Trials, temptations, wrestling, struggling to find your true identity, what you're going to stand for, searching for answers with your life. What do you think has driven Elijah into the wilderness? Stress. Anybody ever deal with stress in here a little bit? There was a scientist in the 1930s. He was doing some studies on animals. He saw that with certain triggers, certain stressors, they started having digestive problems or high blood pressure or backaches. He said he called it stress. And we find that when we have changes in our work, traumatic events, too many things that we're required to do at one time. I was reading this story about an elderly gentleman who was dealing with a great deal of stress. He lived alone. He loved gardening, but because he was growing old, his body was growing weak. He couldn't dig his garden anymore. He was grieving the loss of his wife, and his only son was in prison. And all these burdens kind of weighed heavily on him. And so he sent a note to his son. He said, I feel bad. I feel awful. I'm not able to plant my potato garden this year. I mean, I hate doing that. It was something your mother would do with us, and she'd love the garden, but I'm just too old, and I miss you, son, and I wish you were here. Shortly after he sent his son a letter, he got a telegram back from his boy, and it said, "Dad, for heaven's sake, don't dig up the garden. That's where I hid the guns." Well, that night, about 4 a.m, about a dozen police showed up at the house and dug up the entire backyard of the old man's house. And he woke up and he thought, what in the world is going on? But in the morning, he could plant his potato garden, couldn't he? Plant his potato garden. And his boy said, "Dad, for you and your stress, this was the least I could do from where I am." I mean, but stress is no joking matter. I find myself stressed a great deal about time management, balance, rhythm, particularly in summer. When kids' schedule changes, how to manage that balance. I don't know what your stressors are, but I see Elijah driven into the wilderness by stress. I see him driven into the wilderness by what I might call emotional turmoil, highs and lows. In one moment, he's on Mount Carmel, witnessing God victorious over false gods and prophets. Now he feels like he's on the most wanted list of Jezebel. He's alone. He's in hiding. You know, God was so intimate, so close, now he feels desperate, alone. Have you ever ridden that kind of seesaw? I remember taking a trip to Israel, and an evening I just spent kind of out. It was over kind of this peak from where we were staying. I could look out over the valley towards the Sea of Galilee. You could just see the stars. I was close to some historic biblical ruins. It was just kind of this mystical type of spiritual place, and God's presence just so evident, and just listening to some Christian music I had, I think on at that time it was a Discman, but anyways, was listening to this music and then just taking in the Spirit of the Lord. And I remember flying home back into routine, studies, deadline, pressures, and wondering where that intimacy, that power, that presence of the Lord had gone. You know, God felt so close. And now in the busyness of life, God's felt so distant. Have you gone through that sense of emotional turmoil, that space of wilderness? Elijah was driven into the wilderness by discouragement. He was looking at his role, his purpose as a prophet, and he wasn't feeling very fruitful. He was seeing God's people continue to fall away again and again. He felt like his life was under attack, but for what? What difference was he making? Last week, I went up to our Methodist annual conference. It's kind of a neat place. You hear about what the Lord is doing in churches all across the state. And sometimes my heart leapt, and it's like, wow, that's awesome. The Lord is launching 20 new congregations in Indiana in the last few years. That's great. Look at this mission outreach that we're doing. But then after my heart would leap, it would kind of sink, and I'd start to think, now, David, why aren't you being more fruitful? You know, that discouragement, that evil one speaking that into me. It's Father's Day, right? It's a great day to celebrate dads. Intentional thank yous from your kids. But this morning I woke up kind of wrestling with the type of dad I want to be and the type of dad I've been. And, you know, have I been distant at times when I should have been paying attention? Not engaged, distracted. And that discouragement sets in. Do you know that place of wilderness? Discouragement. The last thing I see driving him into the wilderness is some fear, just straight up fear. He's actually gone so far south, he's out of the reach of Jezebel. He's out of her territory. But this fear for his life is so overriding that he almost asked God to take his life away from him. There's been some things that have kind of rekindled fear in me this week. Just the random acts of violence in Orlando have done that. The news story of the two-year-old captured and killed by the alligator at Disney. I mean, fear for my kids. And then something's really shook me this week. I have a friend of mine. We were in a two-year study program together. We went on two kind of ministry trips together. Our girls both play soccer for the Y. We'd see each other on Saturdays and catch up. This guy, he was always so remarkable about like trying to make ministry relevant in his context. I really thought he was just a great kind of thinker about the Bible. I just really respected this guy. And this week I saw him on the news. He was caught, convicted, trying to have sex with a minor, an undercover operation. I know that guy. He's my friend. What happened? I mean, I'm angry about it, and I'm grieving for the kids that were at risk because of him. Mostly I'm afraid because this is a guy I know. What, if that could happen to him, could that kind of temptation happen to me? So I've had some fear I've been wrestling with. Have you been driven in the wilderness because of fear? Dads, it's Father's Day. You know a little bit about stress, emotional turmoil, discouragement, fear. What types of things sustain? Types of things fuel? What's that kind of high energy bar? I know what I was looking for in the scripture for this week. As I kept reading it, I wanted to hear kind of the Lord's fight song in some ways. Fight back. I started thinking of some movie quotes. Here's a little quiz for you. I wanted to hear things like, "We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive." That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear the Lord say, "Get busy living or get busy dying." Or do not, there is no try. Carpe diem, seize the day, make your life extraordinary. A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake friends and break bonds of fellowship, but this is not the day, this is the day we fight. All right, there were five of them. You can check with me after the service. But that's what I wanted to hear, this kind of quit your crying, Elijah, start trying. Get up. But what I find instead is a guy resting, eating, kind of wrestling with some questions, listening, and inevitably just letting go. I find Elijah, he's kind of in a place of retreat. That's not a very manly Father's Day word, retreat. Surrender, let go. I think maybe it's a little weak. Instead, we think be positive, be upbeat, you know, and these are great, great words, persevere. But the worry that we're harboring is not just from today. It's drawing its sources from way, way back. And if we're going to overcome that, then we've got to find a greater strength in that. And that is being alone with only God and resting in Him. So men, parishioners, followers of God, today I charge you in some way to find retreat, resting. Elijah rested. So I'm giving you permission to take a nap today on Father's Day, I guess. Take a nap. But also, it's not just physical rest. It's find a space to rest in the presence of God. No distractions, no agenda, no tasks. Maybe it can't be a two-day weekend or even a full day. But what about an hour? An hour just maybe listening to some Christian music, writing a little, reading his word, rest. 2, eating and drinking. Elijah eats and drinks. Every retreat I've been on has great refreshments, but I think that here I want to piggyback on what Dee was saying. Eat the word of the Lord. And engage and swallow the good word that God has for us. Drink the juice of communion, be in worship, re-energized by worship together. Elijah had food that sustained him for 40 days and 40 nights. That reminds like Israelites, 40 years in the wilderness, Jesus, 40 days of temptation. As long as it took to get right, he was sustained by the word and worship. That is our food and our drink. Take a hike. Elijah seems to walk around a lot. And I remember retreats I've been on. Some of the best moments have been some hikes just out into the woods, catching a little waterfall, seeing a strange tree growing out of a rock. Movement. Our anxiety is lowered when we get our bodies moving. Our anxiety is lowered when we get our faiths moving. So my idea of take a hike is make a faith plan. Think about where you want your spiritual journey to be three months from now. What types of engagement, what kinds of goals do you need to set to see your faith grow in that way? Retreat is not just an invitation to sit around, but it's to move. Move your life, move your faith. Rest, eat and drink, take a hike, look around and listen. God said to Elijah, come out of the cave, stand still, pay attention. I'm going to pass by you. Retreat. When I think about retreats I've been on, it's intentionally engaged with God, thinking about him in ways I wouldn't in normal day life. How do we carry that over into what we're doing tomorrow? To look and listen. Is there a way that you can look and listen to your kids differently and see God in them? Your spouse? We in the church, can we look and listen to each other and see God in each other's lives or in the stranger? Inviting you in retreat to pay attention. We want to be great dads or great disciples. Do we want to overcome fear and discouragement? We've got to find that source of renewal. Quiet our soul. Find it in a moment of retreating to your Lord this week. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. This is a great gift, this moment of worship. These are great people in here, your children. God, indeed, I know some folks in here are dealing with stress. They're dealing with some emotional ups and downs, really feeling like they're drawing close to you and then steps back where it feels as if you're absent, Lord. I'm certain, Lord, there are folks feeling discouraged in here. They're trying hard at something. They're learning. They're putting their all into something. And maybe they're not seeing the fruit of that, Lord. Wrestling with that discouragement. And by God, we are afraid. It's hard to turn on the news, Lord, and feel informed without hearing stories that make us afraid. We can resonate with Elijah, Lord. And like him, we want to be nourished. We want to take a bite of something that will rejuvenate us for 40 days. We want to step outside, Lord, and just feel you passing by. But we know, Lord, if we kept reading in this story, it wasn't in the mighty wind, it wasn't in the earthquake, Lord, it was a still small voice in which you spoke. Help us to pay attention to the miracle that's happening right next to us this week. I pray for your people, Lord. I pray for that spirit to pass by each one of them, speak to each one of them, renew and charge them for the purpose you have for them. We seek to be your people, your followers, and your creator of new followers. Guide us in this charge, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.